And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you humbly tonight, Lord. We ask, God, that you move in this place as you already have, Lord. I pray, God, against any prideful spirit in me that it won't block your word or your movement, God. I pray that your words be spoken tonight and not mine. I pray that you move minds and you move hearts. God, we pray for vision-inspired action from you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I want to talk about tonight is life. I want to talk about the part of life where you start to grow weary. The day-to-day part of life where, you know, you're excited, right? You're going in a direction. Maybe God healed you of something. Maybe he brought you through a trial. Maybe he gave you a vision. He wanted to take you somewhere. And then you got up Monday morning and it, you know, you had to shovel the driveway and you had to go to work and then you had to do that over and over and over all day. And the weariness of life just grows in and it comes in and it starts to steal that vision. It starts to steal that drive that you had originally. That's what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about where God wants to take us. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans for you to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Right? And that's like nice on a pillow, right? That looks good, you know, on like your Pinterest feed or whatever. But how? Right? But how? How do we get there? How do we do it? And that's what I want to talk about. That's the but how. That's what I always ask whenever I, you know, hear somebody or I read something inspirational. I'm like, yeah, that's really fun, you know, but how do we do it? Now, this is just a list. This is things that I thought of while I was, you know, thinking and praying about this and meditating. It's not a comprehensive list, you know, by any means of the imagination. But these are just a few things that I've picked up by watching people like Pastor Marty, like my dad, like other heroes in my life that I respect and that I learn from. First thing on how to not grow weary is to live by vision. Live by vision. How can you get where you're going if you can't picture it? Now imagine this. I put you in a sailboat and I told you, all right, guys, your goal is to sail to the Bahamas. You got to get there. Right? It sounds awesome, right? It's beautiful, beaches and everything. First thing you would do is pull out a map, right? And you get a vision, you get a visual on where you're headed. Because it wouldn't matter what storm came along. It wouldn't matter what waves came up. Once that storm passed, you'd be right back on track, headed down, headed south, right? You would have a vision. You would have a target in mind of where you're headed. And the same is true in life. If you have no vision, if you have no goal, if you're not driving towards a certain place, a storm comes along and you're drifting aimlessly in the ocean, waiting for the next storm to hit, worried about what's going to happen instead of focused on your goal, figuring out what you need to do to move on and head there. Malcolm Gladwell, he's an author, he says that hard work without meaning is drudgery. Hard work without meaning is drudgery. And vision gives you the meaning behind your day-to-day. It's what helps you get out of bed because you say, yeah, I'm getting out of bed. Yeah, it's early. Yeah, I'm tired. But I have a goal. I know where I'm headed. Ecclesiastes 3:22. This is King Solomon. He had everything in the world that he wanted, right? And he said, after, you know, anything that he took, anything that he wanted, he said, I saw there is nothing better for people than to be happy in their work. That is why we are here. No one will bring us back to death to enjoy life. Now, in, you know, Christianese, we call this, you know, living by faith, right? So obviously, what verse am I going to reference? Hebrews 11:1, right? What is faith? Faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. That's vision. That's having a vision for your life. It's having faith in God that the vision that he's given you, the goal and desire that he's put in your heart, will come to pass. But you have to get through the day-to-day to get you through those storms. We'll talk about that in a minute. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I find myself to be disqualified. When I first started out, I graduated from college, and I'm like, I'm going to be a businessman, you know, and I'm going to go and do business things, and I can't wait. Right? And I found myself like broke, unemployed, and living in my parents' basement. Like 2 weeks. 2 weeks after graduation, I'm like, when's Forbes going to come and do my interview? Like, this isn't how I planned it. This is ridiculous. And when I graduated, I got a job, and I got a job in sales intentionally. And when I worked in sales, I actually had to work out of my parents' basement because I couldn't actually afford gas to get into the office some days, right? Because it was commission only, I had to build it, whatever. And I remember sitting there, and I remember, like, sitting at the desk that I learned how to, like, write cursive at as a little kid, right? And I'm thinking, like, man, like, this is pretty much rock bottom, you know, career-wise. This can't get much lower than this. And I would run conference calls, and I would run webinars. But I didn't run them like I was sitting in my parents' basement like a loser, right? I got up. I got dressed, right? I was sharp. I practiced my webinars. I put work into them because I knew I'm not in this basement forever. I'm not going to be working out of here forever. I've got places to go. And now I've been able to travel the country. I've been able to speak in conference rooms all over the country and train and do webinars and train people on how to do webinars because it started in that basement. I had a vision there and I worked and I put in the time to get out of it and actually into the world where I can make a difference. And guys, we live in a church that lives by vision, right? We live in a church where when we go to St. Anthony's and the sanctuary isn't packed, we don't dial it in and say, hey, you know what, not that many people. Want just one song for worship, you guys think? Wrap this thing up, we're getting hungry. We don't do that, right? Because we're putting in the work now because we have a vision that that will be a beacon of hope for that community, that it will be packed with people, that it will be full, that we will change lives in there. But it starts in a basement. It starts small, and it takes work. But having that vision of where you're going is what gets you through those early days. Does that make sense, guys? One of my favorite people in the whole Bible is Joseph. Genesis 37, 5 through 8. I'm just going to read it quick. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He had a vision. He shared his vision. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. And his brothers were like, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream. God gave Joseph that dream because Joseph needed a vision to get him out of the well. Joseph needed a vision to get through being accused of raping his boss's wife. He needed a vision to get him through sitting in a prison cell for years and being forgotten by everyone who ever knew him. And he lived through it and he stayed faithful because he had a vision from God that he set down on his life. And guys, people aren't going to like it when you're living with a vision, when you have a goal, when you're focused and headed in that direction. And I always heard in Sunday school that Joseph was dumb because he told his brothers about his vision. He should have kept his mouth shut. I don't agree with that. Because haters gonna hate, man. You can't stop it. Don't let those people, those negative influences that surround you, keep you from chasing after your vision. And that's what takes me right to my next point. Find the right friends. If you're headed in a direction, you don't have time to be held down by negative influences of people that are around you. When you're sharing your vision, when you're sharing your testimony, when you're saying, I'm headed in this direction, people that have no dream will wake up every day and try to talk you out of yours. If they have no dream, they want to take yours away from you because it makes them feel bad to see you succeed, right? It's true. And guys, let's take this just a step further really quick, because this is, not only do we need to find good friends, we need to be good friends, right? And jealousy is natural, right? It's natural, like, when your friend comes up, he's like, dude, I just got this new car, it's sweet, I just got a promotion and a raise. It's natural for you to be like, oh, I kind of wish I had a new car and a raise. We all feel it. We don't have to pretend like we don't. That's natural. But what you have to do is start hanging around the people that you're jealous of, because they're winners. And when you get around good people, when you get around the people that you're jealous of, because you want to hang around with winners. Don't let their success stop you from chasing after your dream. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Find good company and be good company. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Guys, I could read verses day after day after day about finding the right people in your life. Surround yourself with the people that you want to be like, and you will become like them. And guys, when I guess I'm telling a lot of stories about myself, because I know me. When I first started, right before I graduated, I wanted to get into sales. So I went to the boss of my company that I had, and I said, hey man, you know, I'm going to be big shot. Forbes will be calling me in probably a couple months. I don't know if you know. But I want to get a career in sales. That's why I want to start my career. So I'm offering me to you first, you know, as a courtesy. Do you want to hire me? And he goes, sales? He goes, you'd never make it in sales. And that was it. Boom, done. And like I remember, just like Ryan said, I remember the day. I remember sitting in his office and just feeling crushed. Like, this guy kind of knows me. Like, maybe he's right. But guess what? He wasn't right. But if I had stayed there, he would have been. If I had stayed working in that environment of people who didn't believe my dreams, he would have been. So what did I do? I quit. Not right then. I waited till I had another offer, right? Not crazy here, people, right? You got to be smart. But guys, I hate to say this. Sometimes the most negative people in your life are the people who are closest to you. And sometimes they're even your family members. And I say this with caution because it takes discernment, right? I'm all about healthy families. I'm blessed with a healthy family on both sides, you know, my wife and I. But guys, think about the people that you're surrounded with. In Mark 6:1-5, this is talking about Jesus. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter? The son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could not do mighty work there except that he laid hands and, you know, he healed a few sick people, right? I love how it says he couldn't do mighty works. He healed a couple people, but no mighty works Jesus could do. I can picture it now, right? Jesus comes into Nazareth. People are following. He's laying his hands. He's healing people. And they're like, wait, isn't he just the carpenter, right? Didn't he put a roof on my shed? What? Who does this guy think he is? And the discouragement of family is so strong that Jesus could do no work in that town. That is huge. Your family can tear you down. Mom and dad, you can tear your kids down. So think about the words that you say to them. Think about the way that you communicate to them. Because you are the biggest influence in their life. And you can even stop Jesus from being able to perform miracles because he was not received by the people that he loved and knew the most. When you make a change in your life, your close friends, your old crew, they'll say, isn't he just blank? Right? Wasn't he just the carpenter? Pauly, isn't he just that guy who sold me drugs? I don't know if you did, Pauly. I'm not throwing shade, bro. You know, isn't he just so-and-so? Because they don't see Pauly the way that we see Pauly, as a mighty man of God who can walk up to anybody and minister to them right then and there. They see him as who he used to be, and they want to remind him of what he used to be because they see his life headed in a direction that they wish that they were headed in, but they're not. So they want to tear him down. This is a difficult process, guys. But life is difficult. My third point is that we need to get comfortable with discomfort. Growth only occurs in a state of discomfort. That was said by Bill Ekstrom. He did a TED Talk talking about when he got fired from being CEO of some multi-million dollar company. He said that he was like a fish, he was like a goldfish in a glass bowl in a very comfortable environment who was limited to growing, you know, 1.5 inches, right? But as soon as you throw that fish into a pond where there's currents and sunlight and competitors on the food chain, it'll grow. It's hard, but it'll grow. When we create an environment free of challenges or obstacles, we eliminate our ability to grow because we hide from opportunities. Right? An opportunity comes, a challenge comes, something that I could, you know, maybe put myself out there a little bit comes, and we shy away from it. And that's the opposite, that's the antithesis of growth. James 1, 2 through 4, one of my favorite verses, says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I said this, I think a couple weeks ago when we took offering. When you're going through a trial, you're living your testimony. So make it one worth sharing, right? Take that vision of where you know that God is heading, where he's taking you. And don't shy away from the growth. Don't shy away from the discomfort. Embrace it. And get stronger and move on. Look for environments that make you uncomfortable. Don't turn down opportunities just because they scare you. Finally, stop taking credit. Stop taking credit. The pastor that spoke, I don't remember his name, the pastor from Ireland who spoke last week was incredible. And what he said, it hit me so hard. He said, you don't have a ministry, it's God's ministry. You don't have a gift, it's God's gift. You don't have wealth, it's God's wealth. You don't have influence, that's God's influence. Don't take credit. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. If you're looking for a way to limit your growth, get prideful. It's a promise. But, you know, I hear you say, I see, you know, rich people, you know, all around me, right? Rich people who aren't Christians. I see them all around me. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Psalm 73, 12, and then I'm going to skip down to verses 18 through 19. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. And then we skip forward to 18, right? This is the psalmist David. He's like, I see all these rich people all around me. They have a super easy life. He goes, truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment and swept away utterly by terrors. Just because someone seems to have worldly success, you don't see the whole part. You don't see their story. You don't see the 90% of who they are under the surface. You see their top 10% because that's what they show on Facebook, social media, LinkedIn, whatever. That's what's out for display. That's what you get to see. Don't judge someone by what you see because you don't know the rest of the story. They may have everything together on the outside, but they don't have the promise of God, a life where they are going to prosper and not be harmed, to have a hope and a future. That promise is so far beyond worldly success. It's about a confidence. It's about a peace. It's about a true feeling of worth and belonging that you can only find in Jesus. And it's better than any money or any riches that you could possibly have. That is what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to have the flash and dazzle and then lay abed at night, you know, thinking like, how am I going to be able to, you know, pay off my debts? How am I going to be able to, you know, get myself through this? Don't put yourself in slippery places. Don't let pride sneak in. And the last one is be diligent. Be diligent. Excellence is the gradual result of always striving to do better. Proverbs 16:18. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another's, who will give you which is your own? Truth is, we need to be faithful in the little because we need to learn how to be faithful before we can understand how to be faithful in much. If you were given your dream tomorrow, you probably couldn't handle it. And if you could, your dream isn't big enough. If you were handed your dream tomorrow, you couldn't handle it. Because being faithful in little builds experience. It builds strength. It builds faith. It builds confidence. It gives you the knowledge that you need to be able to grow, to be able to develop, and be able to handle more once it's given to you. The process is in the diligence. The process is in your steps, day by day, getting there. So guys, that's all I had. And I'm gonna end in prayer. And I'm going to pray for two groups of people. First group of people I'm going to pray for are people who have a vision, but they've grown weary. The day-to-day life, the people who have... People have knocked you down. Storms of life have come along, and they've discouraged you. I'm going to pray for that person. And then second, I'm going to pray for the person who doesn't have a vision. You say, I don't know where I'm going. You feel like that boat in that beginning analogy. I don't know where I'm headed. I'm going to pray that God gives you a vision. He gives you a desire to find out what he wants you to do in your life. And he gives you that drive, that passion for every day. So guys, I want everybody to pray. Everybody bow your heads. If you're in that first group that I described, I want you to just open up your hands to heaven as I pray. Lord, we pray against weariness, God. We pray against the day-to-day drudgery that can slow us down. We pray, God, that you will give us strength, that you will give us a renewed vision of where you want us to go, that you'll surround us with the people that we need to have around us, Lord. We pray that when opportunities come our way, that we won't shy away from them, run away from them, God. And finally, Lord, we pray that we will be diligent in every day and that you'll keep any pride away from us. And if you were that person who doesn't have a vision, just raise your hand up to God. Jesus, I pray for everyone here that needs a vision from you, God, who is saying, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know what my dreams are. God, I pray that you would place a vision in their heart. I pray that you would speak to them directly and give them that drive and that passion to follow you and to lead others on their way to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to me and everything. I'll just be down here hanging out. Thank you.
That was some good stuff, wasn't it? That was some really, really good stuff. What a way to just end the night. It was a beautiful evening. Just a lot of stuff happened tonight, and it was just so beautiful to see just family come together. You are our family. You are definitely our family, and we're so thankful for that. And then this word, we're going to have to download the podcast and listen to it again because there was just so much good information just in this word tonight. So let's stand together. I'm just going to pray one more time. And man, if something just struck you and you need prayer again tonight, we're going to be down here. We'll pray for you. Dan will be down here. Stacy, if you'll come down and stand next to Dan. These guys are two pillars in this house, and I know they're pillars in the youth ministry, and we just really just believe in them and their family, and they definitely have some wisdom to share. So if you need anything for prayer tonight, they'll be down here to pray for you. We believe in every single one of you. And remember, we're always here to do life with you. Let's pray one more time. God, I thank you for just this beautiful presence, God, that you have given us tonight, for your grace and your love tonight, God. And I just thank you that you, above anybody else, speak life into us. And I just pray that as we walk out, God, we speak life to others. We find the right people to do life with, God. And you give us that vision for our future. And I just thank you for every person here, God, that we walk out of here knowing who we are in you. I even thank you, God, for Dan and Stacy and Emma right now. And I just pray that you just speak life and blessing over their lives, God. The best is yet to come for them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We love you. Give God one more praise. He's a good God. He's a good guy. We would love to see you Sunday morning, 8:30, 10 a.m., 12 noon at St. Anthony's. Have a great night.